All right, we're holding on Rav Amud Beis, 14 lines from the bottom. The line begins Chamisha. We're still talking about Bal Ta'achar, about the mitzvah that you're not supposed to delay bringing your korbanos or your various other nedarim, including tzedakah or whatever, beyond a certain amount of time. We had a five-way machlokes what that certain amount of time is. So to continue to finish up with some details about that. Boy Reb Zeira, Yodish Mao Baval Ta'acher. Reb Zeira asks, what happens if a person inherited a korban from his father? So his father had designated there could actually be two possibilities. One possibility is that the father actually designated an animal for the korban, and then he passed away, and now the son is obligated to bring it. The second possibility would be where the father just said, I'm going to bring the korban, and then you have a machloikas in several places in Shas, whether shibuda deraisa or not, whether the fact that he said, I'm obligated to bring a korban, or for that matter, if he said, I obligate myself to bring a korban, do we say that there's now a shibud on his property? Because after all, as long as he's alive, we said he's chayav b'akriyusa. So now, maybe even after he passed away, there's still a shibud, there's still a lien on his property, and therefore the yoshim are required to bring it. So the question is the yodish subject to Bal Ta'acher about his father's neder? Do we say, kisida neder omer achmana? The pasuk says, if you make a neder, then don't delay. Well, v'haylai neder, well, v'haylai neder. Well, he didn't make the neder, his father did. Or maybe since the pasuk says, and we said that there's an essay in this, that you, when you come to the Beis Mikdash, you should bring your korban. Therefore, v'homi chayev. He's chayev in aliyah l'regel, just as much as his father was. So therefore, maybe he's also chayev to bring the korban, and it, not just chayev to bring the korban, but it's oivan bal ta'achar if he doesn't bring it in time. So the answer is Toshma, the Toni Reb Chiya. We can prove from what Reb Chiya teaches in a Braisa that when the Pasuk says, we quoted the Pasuk at the beginning of the Sugya, in particular, the Pasuk says, Ki Dorish Yid Rishenu Hashem Alekecha Me'imach, that Hashem will demand it from you. So Reb Chiya says, Me'imach Prat LeYorish. That means to exclude the Yorish. So the Yorish is not subject to Bal Ta'achar. Now, obviously, if he designated the animal and he didn't bring it within 3 regalim, fine, then we can talk about that he's chayav. But we're talking about, in other words, where his father made the neder, and he, and again, either the father had designated the animal and then passed away, or he hadn't, and we say shibud deraisa, then the son, then the clock resets at any rate. So the question is, what do you mean? The word me'imach we already used before. We said that a previous braisa that we said earlier in the sugya explained that the word me'imach comes to include leket shikcha and peya, because we said by all of those go to the poor people, and the poor people are described as imach, as ha'oni imach. So we learn from that those also there's a deadline of Bal Ta'achar. The answer is koribe imach v'koribe me'imach. The answer is because the posit, if it was just to teach us about lekat shikhan peya, the posit could have said ki dorish yid rishenu Hashem alekecha imach. Instead, it says may imach from you. So the word imach teaches us what goes to the aniyim, and the mem comes. So it is a mute tells us, but there's a certain case where it doesn't apply, namely a yodish. Okay. Also, boy Reb Zeira, isha mahi b'val ta'achar. What about as a woman subject to Bal Ta'achar?
You could also infer that me'imach means amongst yours.
Right, but the Gemara is telling us that the word imach means what goes to the poor, and me'imach means within among you, there is a limitation, namely that it does not apply to a yersh. So the Gemara goes on, Boy Reb Zeira, Isha Mahi B'Val Ta'acher. What about as a woman subject to the din of Bal Ta'acher? On the one hand, Mia Minin Holo Mechayv B'Re'iyah. On the one hand, she's not Chayv to appear in the Beis Mikdash on the Shalosh Regalim, because after all, it's Yeroah Kol Zechurcha. So therefore, maybe the whole concept of Bal Ta'acha, which is applied to the, which is tied to the Yomim Tovim, then maybe she's not, maybe the din of Bal Ta'acha doesn't apply. And in fact, Tosfos points out, you have other people who are also potter from Re'iyah for various reasons, which we'll learn about in a few months, Bez Hashem. In Masechta Chagiga, we'll talk about the various categories of people who are exempt. So they also, maybe Bal Ta'acha wouldn't, maybe Bal Ta'acha wouldn't apply to them. Or maybe on the other hand, we would say that she has the mitzvah of simcha on the Yomim Tovim. So in particular, simcha, when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, involved eating the meat of shlamim. Eating the meat of shlamim necessarily means that she's coming to Yerushalayim, because you can't eat them outside of Yerushalayim. So maybe, therefore, we should consider that uvasa shama v'avesim shama applies to her. She has a mitzvah to come because she has to eat shlamim. So Amalei Abaya says to Rav Zera, what's even the question? What do you mean? The very fact that she's chayev in simcha should be reason enough to be mechayev her. What do you care whether she has the mitzvah of re'iyah or not? Fine, she doesn't have the mitzvah of re'iyah in the sense that she doesn't have to bring an oilas re'iyah, but she still has to bring, she still has to be involved in a shamei chagiga.
But so that's the mitzvah of Grama.
Well, it is a mitzvah as a shazman groma, but nevertheless, we're still saying that the pasuk says "v'samachta b'chagecha after uvincha uvitecha avdecha v'amasta." It applies to the whole family. So for that reason alone, Bal Ta'acha should apply to her if she made a neder.
It doesn't say v'ishtecha.
Okay, because you and your wife are considered one group, but it mentions after uvincha uvitecha. Your daughter is a woman, right? So they want to ask, me Omar Abaya Hochi. Did Abaya really say that? That he says that a woman's mitzvah of simcha involves eating shlomim? Didn't Abaya say that the mitzvah of simcha for a woman is that her husband gives her simcha? Meaning Rashi explains it doesn't involve eating meat of shlomim at all. It involves giving her nice yomtiv clothing. So in Babel they wore colorful clothing, and in Eretz Yisrael they wore starched white linen clothing. Whatever it is, that's for simcha. So it has nothing to do with going to the Beis Hamikdash. So what is Abaya saying that she's chayev in the mitzvah of simcha, which involves eating shlomim, which involves therefore going to the Beis Hamikdash? And the answer is, you're right. Abaya is not saying according to his own opinion. He's saying, but even according to you, Rav Zeira, that you don't agree with that. You say the mitzvah of simcha for a woman involves eating meat of shlomim. Well, then, in that case, according to you, then she has to be chayev in Bal Ta'acha, no different than a man. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's explanation because, in fact, Tosfos brings from other Gemaras that seem to imply that when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, then yes, a woman has a mitzvah of eating the meat of a shlomim. So rather, Tosfos says what it means is, Rabbi Natam says in Tosfos, that what it means is the chiyuv is really on her husband. Her husband is responsible to bring a korban shlomim and to give her some of it to eat. So it's not really a chiyuv on her herself. And in fact, other mafarshim point out, for that reason, she doesn't even have to come to the Beis Hamikdash per se. The shlomim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. So she doesn't even have to come into the Beis Hamikdash itself. She could just remain behind in Yerushalayim. Her husband goes to the Beis Hamikdash, brings the shlomim as a korban, and then brings the meat back to the house where they're staying in Yerushalayim, and his wife eats it. So there's not necessarily anything involving her coming to the Beis Hamikdash at all. So that's the question. If Abaya says Isha Baila Masamcha, implying that it's just her husband has the mitzvah of making her simcha, then why should we say that Bal Ta'acha applies to her? And the answer again is that we're talking according to Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira, who brought up the point that she does have the mitzvah of simcha, where Rav Zeira, in other words, is saying it's not just a chiyuv on her husband, it's an independent chiyuv on her. Well, then of course she's chayev in Bal Ta'acha if you take that view. Next, the Gemara asks another detail before we're finished with the matter. This is really a side point from Bal Ta'acher. We mentioned before that a bechur is supposed to be eaten during the year. It's supposed to be brought as a korban and eaten during the year, during its first year. Because the pasuk says on it, shana b'shana. And in fact, we said that the same thing applies to other kodshim as well, because we learned it from the fact that it says kol ha-bechur. So ibayalahu, so they have the question. Bechur me'emasai monin loy shana. From what point do we count the year of the Bechor? Because there's two ways of looking at it, remember. You have the Bechor is born, but you can't bring it as a korban until it's at least 8 days old. So maybe the year should only begin from there. Or maybe not. Maybe it should begin from when it's born. Abaya Amar Mishalshan Nolad. So Abaya says it begins when the animal is born. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Mishalshan Nir La'Hatza. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says from when it's suitable to be brought to the korban, namely 8 days old. But the word Hatza over here, we're using a little bit loosely, by the way. Hatza technically means the bringing of a korban to make you acceptable to Hashem. So it can be, for example, a chatas, so an asham, where a person did an aveira, and now he wants, that's part of his process of doing tshuva. There can be an oila, for example, where among other things, where a person brings an oila when he had machshavas, when he had wrong machshavas, or when he did a mitzvah, when he did an aveira, that doesn't have a chatas, so an asham involved. So all of those are meant to put him back in Hashem's good favor. A bechor, really, we said before, is really not in that category at all. A bechor is just, it belongs to Hashem to begin with. You're just bringing it to Hashem because it belongs to him. But nevertheless, we're using Hatsa in a bit of a looser sense to mean when the time when it's brought to the korban. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov is saying, you count from the animal's eighth day is when the clock begins and you have a year to bring it. And the Gemara says, v'lo pligi, they're actually not arguing, Abaya and Rav Acha bar Yaakov. It depends whether the animal is a tam or a balmum. It's a tam, you can bring it as a korban. Therefore, the clock begins only when it's 8 days old, which is the earliest you can bring it as a korban. Whereas when it was a balmum, when it was born with a mum, so right away you're able to show. So you're never going to bring it as a korban. It's going to be shechted anywhere in the world where you have it. So therefore, right away when it's born, then you're able to shecht it. So the Gemara asked, what do you mean, balmum mi matzi ochele? What do you mean? Even if the animal was born as a balmum, you can't eat it right away, because the same way as you have to wait to bring it as a korban till it's 8 days old, the same way you have to wait long enough to be sure that it's a full-term baby, that it's not a nepho. In halacha, we say that with a human baby, it's 30 days. With an animal baby, it's 8 days. Once it reaches that age, then we consider it's viable. Obviously, you can have, or it can happen, Rahman al-Islam, that a kid dies after that age. It can happen that an animal dies after that age. But if it dies before that age, then we say to begin with, it may not have even been viable. It may have been preterm or something like that. Therefore, for example, in halacha, you have in halacha, for example, most of the time, if a baby, Rahman al-Islam, passes away within the first 30 days, the parents don't sit shiva for him. So the same way over here with an animal, during the first 8 days, even if it was born in a mum, you can't shecht it right away because you have to wait until it's at least 8 days old so you know it's not a nephil. And the answer is dekim lebe shekol aloi chadasha. You're right. The case we're talking about over here has to be where you know for sure that it's full term. So you have, let's say, for example, the female animal mated and became pregnant. And ever since then, you kept it apart from all the other animals. And actually, you don't even need that, really. In general, animals, once they're pregnant, are usually not receptive to a male again. So therefore, as long as you keep track of things, then you'll know that it's full 5 months for a sheep or a goat, or full 9 months for cattle, and then you'll know that it's full term, and therefore you don't need to wait the 8 days. Then you are actually allowed to shecht it on the day that it was born. In a similar vein, by the way, you have with human babies, if there's a way to know that a particular baby is full term, same idea. Let's say, you know, the couple had relations, then the husband went out of town, and the baby was born full 9 months later, then in halacha, we consider that we know that baby is full term, therefore viable, and if Rahman al-Islam, within 30 days, they still sit shiva. It's a bit of an unusual case, because generally speaking, you always have the possibility that it's maybe preterm, but nevertheless, you do have that concept in principle. Tosfos, by the way, mentions over here that if the animal...
You never sit shiva for a human pregnancy that's less than what, 9 months, you said?
If the baby was born and you don't know whether the baby was full term, and then the baby, Rahman al-Islam, passes away within 30 days, you don't sit shiva for him. If you know that it was a full term pregnancy and then the baby passes away, then you would. But ordinarily, you don't know, because ordinarily the couple doesn't necessarily cease having relations the moment of conception. So therefore, therefore most of the time you don't know for sure.
What's the full term according to Alatha?
9 months. New command. Okay. Let's go.
Come on, it's not so obvious.
Yes, it's obvious. 9 months. Yeah. Okay. Tosfos also mentions over here, by the way, when we talk about a balmum and we say we count from the day the animal was born, we mean when it was born with a mum. If it developed a mum later on, then you have to start from 8 days, because when it reached 8 days, then it was that was the first time you could have brought it as a korban. The fact that during the year it developed a mum doesn't change that, says Tosfos. Actually, the Shach on Shulchan Aruch over there discusses the pros and cons of that a little bit, whether that's in fact the case. The Ritva over here asks the question, look, I mean, the animal has a mum after all. Retroactively, we know that you could have shechted it on the day it was born, because again, let's assume we're talking about it was a full-term pregnancy. So why should you count from 8 days? Why shouldn't you count retroactively from when it was born, now that it developed a mum? And he says, because after all, the fact is that the fact is at that time you didn't know that it's going to develop a mum. As far as you knew, it's going to be brought as a korban, and the earliest you can do that is the 8th day. Therefore, you continue counting from that. You don't move the clock back a week and then recount from when it was born. So therefore, once it's sorted like that, then you continue like that, and you have a full year from its eighth day. Okay. New topic. We mentioned in the Mishnah two things that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for. We said Melachim, which is the years of Jewish kings, and Regalim, which is the order of the Yom Tovim, which we said only according to the Pshimin do we need that, because according to the other Chachamim, you don't need the Yom Tovim in order, or you need less than three, or whatever it is anyway. So the Gemara is now going to bring a Braisa that mentions a bunch of other things that begin on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Tana Rabbanan, Be'echad Benisan Rosh Hashanah L'Chadoshim. It's a Rosh Hashanah for months, meaning for the numbering of the month, that Nisan is the first month and Iyar is the second, and so forth. Or the Iburin, and as far as Ibur Yoren, so it sounds like it means that Beis Din can sit beginning already on Rosh Chodesh Nisan and decide whether the next year is a leap year. We're going to revisit that point soon in the Gemara and see not necessarily. Ula Trumas Shkolim, and also as far as the Truma of Shkolim, that we learned back in Masechta Shkolim, they collected the Matzah Shekel every year during Adar. Beginning Rosh Chodesh Nisan is when the new fiscal year of the Bais Mikdash begins, and that's when they start using this year's Matzah Shekel for the Korbanos. So all those things begin in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Yesh Omrim, after Skiras Batim, Yesh Omrim also for rentals of houses, as we're going to talk about on Amud Bey, is what that means. Okay, let's go through each of those things. We have to discuss, number one, how do we know that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the time for it? And number two, why doesn't the Tana of our Mishnah mention it? So the Chadoshim Menolam. So the first one, where do we know that Nisan is the beginning as far as the numbering of the months? Because the Pasuk says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim, this month should be the beginning of the month for you. Rishon hu lachem l'chodesh hashana, it should be the first of the months of the year for you. And the pasuk continues, Dabru kaladat Yisrael lemer. Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, speak to the whole congregation of the Jewish people and tell them, but also l'chodesh hazeh, on the 10th of this month, Yud Nisan, v'yikhu lahem ish selaveis oveis selaboyis, each person should take a sheep for their family, a sheep for their household. The pasuk continues. The Gemara leaves out a pasuk over here where it says what happens if you don't have enough people to be able to eat it. Okay, anyway, continuing a few pasukim later, it says v'hoyo lachem l'mishmeres, that sheep should be guarded by you ad abo also yom l'chodesh hazeh, until the 14th of this month. The shachtu oisiv gomer, and then they should shecht it as the korban pesach. So we see that this is all talking in Nisan. So we see that it's talking about a Nisan, because it's talking about preparing for the Korban Pesach. Uchtiv shomer es chodesh aviv, elsewhere in the Torah, in Parashas Yireh, it says guard the month of Aviv, meaning make sure, this is where we learn that you have to have leap years, because you have to make sure that the Pesach, that the Korban Pesach and the Yom Tov of Pesach is always in chodesh aviv, is always in the month when you have newly ripened grain. Aviv means grain that's newly ripened. Ezehu chodesh yesh by aviv. What month do you find the newly ripened grain in the field? Heveim is a Nisan. You have to say that's Nisan, because of Leirishin. And the earlier Pasuk is calling that the first of the month. So there you go. So you see that Nisan is the first month. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Iyar. How do you know? Maybe actually the first month is Iyar, because after all, not all the grain ripens in, not all the grain starts ripening in Nisan. Sometimes you have some later ripening grain that grows, that ripens in Iyar. So maybe Iyar is really the first month. And the answer is, but in Aviv Valeka. Yeah, but the word Aviv means the early ripening grain. By the time you get to Iyar, it's not the early ripening grain anymore. It's the later ripening. Okay, the Gemara asks the name Adar. So maybe the other way around. Maybe the first month is Adar. In other words, the Gemara knows, obviously we know that Pesach is in the month that we call Nisan. But the Gemara still wants a solid proof for it from the Torah. That the month that we're saying, that the first month and the month during which Pesach takes place is Nisan. How do we know it's not? How do we know it's not Adar instead? The Gemara says, but in a roiv aviv v'lecha. Yes, you sometimes have a little bit of early ripening grain in Adar, but most of the early ripening grain, most of the first ripened grain, ripens in Nisan. So the Gemara says, midi roiv aviv k'siv. So what? The pasuk doesn't say anything about roiv aviv. As long as you have any grain that's newly ripened, then maybe that's enough to call it chodesh aviv. So maybe it's so you have a little bit of it ripens in Adar, most of it ripens in Nisan. Some of the later planted ones ripen in Iyar. Fine, the ones in Iyar are out because we're gonna say that's not the Uli, by definition, that's not the Uli ripening ones. But fine, if you want the earliest ripening ones, those take place in Adar. So maybe in fact the Pasuk is referring to Adar as Chodesh Aviv and calling that the first month. Okay. Ela Amar Rav Chista Mehocha. So you're right, Rav Chista says we don't have a solid proof from there. Rather, we're going to bring a proof from a different pasuk. The pasuk describes about Sukkot, Ach b'chamisha osu yom l'chodesh ha-shvi, however, on the 15th of the seventh month. Now, however, by the way, because previously the pasuk is talking about, it mentioned Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, so now the pasuk is going to be talking about the mitzvahs that are specific to the 7 days of Sukkot. Also, we learn from there. Ach is a miut about simcha of Yom Tov, whatever. Anyway, so ach v'chamisha asi v'chodesh hashvi, but os v'chamas tevuah sa'aretz, when you gather in the produce of the land. Now, the way they worked it in those days, I don't know if they still do this now, but in the olden days, you have to remember in Eretz Yisrael, it never or almost never rains during the spring and summer. So what they would do is they would harvest their grain in the springtime, in Nisan or Iyar or thereabouts, and then they would leave it out in the fields to dry throughout the whole summer. And then Tishrei time, they would gather it up and bring it into the barns and into the stores and into the silos and whatever, and keep it over there. They had to bring it in before the rain begins. So Tishrei time would be the time to bring it in. So the Gemara says, "Ezeru chodesh yesh be'asipa." In what month are they gathering in the grain that was drying in the fields the whole summer? Heviyem is a Tishrei. Obviously, that's Tishrei, but Kakori Leishvi. And we're saying that's the seventh month, Lachodesh Hashvi. So counting backwards, if Tishrei is the seventh month, Nisan is the first month. Again, the Gemara asks the Eimam HaCheshvan, how do you know? Maybe the seventh month is really Cheshvan, or my Shvi, Shvi Le'ir, and we would be counting relative to Iyar. Now, what we just slugged up before, we said it can't be Iyar because Iyar is not the month of Aviv. Already you have early ripening grain before that. But okay, Rav Chista, one answer is that Rav Chista didn't necessarily know about that previous piece where we were discussing that. An interesting historical sidelight to this, by the way, is when there actually was a time in Jewish history when somebody claimed that Sukkot should be in Cheshvan, namely after the Aseres HaShevatim seceded from the kingdom of Yehuda and set up their own kingdom, and Yerovam and Nevat became king. So we know he set up the Eglei HaZahav, and he made a number of other reforms in mitzvahs, in Torah and mitzvahs in his kingdom. And one of them was, the pasuk says, that he moved the Yom Tov of Sukkot to the eighth month, to Cheshvan. So he claimed, in other words, Rashi mentions on the pasuk over there, that he claimed that the time of Osif, the time of gathering in, is Cheshvan and not Tishrei. So here the Gemara is saying, maybe hypothetically, yeah, maybe you could say Osif takes place in Cheshvan, and therefore that's what the Torah is calling the seventh month. And again, the answer is, but you know, Osif Beleka, you don't really have Osif during that time. Everybody brings in their crops from drying before Cheshvan, because Cheshvan is already the rainy season. The whole point is you want to bring them in before the rains start. So people usually don't leave them out until Cheshvan. So you don't really have Osif then. Okay, the Eima Elul. So maybe say that it means Elul my Shvi Shvi Adar. And again, Elul is the seventh month counting from Adar, where again we said before that you already do have early ripening grain in Adar, so that could, in a certain sense, be considered Chodesh Aviv, and the seventh month of it would be Elul, which is when you have some Osif taking place. And again, the answer is, but in a Roiv Osif Beleka, the answer would be, we have to have most of the Osif. Most people still have their produce drying out in the field during Elul. There's no hurry to bring it in during Elul, because it's not raining yet. So most people leave it in the field during Elul, and bring it in only Tishrei time. Right, it says, so what? Again, midi roiv osif. So what? It doesn't say anything about most of the osif. It says the osif So you could have, as long as the Osif is beginning, that has begun, that could be considered the seventh month, and that could be considered the month when Sukkot takes place, and so it's an Elul. So you don't have a solid proof yet from Chumash about the numbering of the months that begins Davka from Nisan.
When we go
up the road, we usually go according to Roiv, fine, but the fact is here the Torah doesn't say anything about Roiv, so maybe conceivably you could say as long as there is some Aviv in Adar, and as long as there's some Osif in Elul, then that's good enough. Ela, Amar Ravina. So Ravina says, you know what? You're right. There's actually no way to learn it in an unequivocal way from Chumash. No matter what kind of proof you bring from Chumash, there's always some way to slog it up. We're going to have to learn it from Sukkim in Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Now, of course, we can't learn halachas from there, but here it's not really, I mean, we know the Torah tells us, we were just asking how we know 100% for sure that it means Nisan and not Adar and not Iyar. So now we can buttress it with Psukim from Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which now the proof is going to be the fact that we see in the later, all the proofs the Gemara is going to bring over here are from the later books of Nevi'im, like some of the Tshrei Aser and the books of, and the later books of Ksuvim, in which you have names of months, the same names that we use nowadays, Nisan and so forth, together with a number. So the Yerushalmi tells us on this, Shmoisa Chadashim Olu B'yodam Mibavel, the names of the months were brought back from Bavel, meaning before Golos Bavel, they used to call the names only by numbers, Chodesh Arushin, Chodesh Hasheni, etc. There are a couple of them had nicknames we had before, we mentioned before Yerach Ziv, we're going to have later on Daf Yud Aleph, we're going to mention again about Yerach Ziv, there's a couple of others in the Pesukim, but for the most part, they weren't generally called by names. After Golos Bavel, they took over the names that were used in Bavel, and they found in inscriptions, they found very similar names that were used in Bavel in those days. So those were taken over by us Jews, and those became the names of the months. Why did they do that, Taka? The Ramban explains on the Pasuk when it says, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Resh Chadashim, he explains like this. Really, essentially, the beginning of the year and the numbering of the months should really begin from Tishrei. We're going to have later on a discussion on Daf Yud Aleph, whether the world was created in Nisan or in Tishrei. According to their opinion that it was created in Tishrei, we should be starting from then. So and that's how it was until Yetzias Mitzrayim. Comes Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem says, I want you to start counting from Nisan and then counting the months from Nisan and numbering them from Nisan to remember the nest that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. What happened after Golos Bavel? The Chachamim of that time said, we also want to thank Hashem for keeping his promise and destroying the kingdom of Bavel and sending Kodesh to say that we could go out of there. So in token of that, they took over these names of the months that were used in Bavel, and those became the names of the months. And that way, every time we use those names, it reminds us of how Hashem defeated and overthrew the kingdom of Bavel and took us out of that Golos. You actually have Pesukim to that effect in Sefer Yirmiyah that there's going to come a time, as the way where it says, where like the Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to be like this, the second most important thing, and the taking out of the Golos of the later Golos is going to be like the more important one to us because it's closer to our time. Same thing now when we have the Gula Mitzvah Shlema of our times, then also we're going to have, in a way, the Gemara says in Brachas, that's in a way going to overshadow the Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the point. They destroyed it, but now we were in Golos Bavel for 70 years, but then Hashem destroyed that kingdom and took us out of there. So using new names for the months reminds us of that. Every time we use the name Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, etc., it reminds us of that we were in Golos Bavel and Hashem took us out of there. So this that we're saying, by the way, so what's the nakamina of knowing that the months are numbered from Nisan, that Nisan is the first and Iyar is the second and so forth? So the Rashba says that's exactly that. We're discussing in the Gemara over here, what Yom Tovim come in what months? We need to know Nisan is the first month to know that Pesach is in that month. Sivan, we need to know, is the third month, so we know that Shavuos is in that month and so forth. There's also an interesting point, though, that different Acharonim talk about. Are you allowed, like this, it's very common, you write a secular date, you write the month using a number. You write, for example, now we're in the month of October, you might write, or you're writing on a check, or you're writing on a form or something, you write, let's say, 10-15 or whatever. Are you allowed to do that? There are some Acharonim who actually argue, based on this, that maybe not. If the whole point of numbering the months from Nisan is to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the whole point of naming them is to remind us of Hashem took us out of Golos Babel, then what are you doing? Using numbers of the Goyishim months as though the real first month is January and this real second month is February. It's not like that. The real first month is Nisan and so forth. On the other hand, you have some posts can say maybe it's not a problem because that would be a problem if you were numbering lunar months. But here, the months of the secular year are not lunar months anyway. They're not tied to the phases of the moon at all. So maybe it's more just like a convenience that they divide the year into 12. It's not any kind of lunar month, and therefore there's maybe not such an issue with it.
So
using the secular year is something else. We're talking about the numbers of the months specifically.
So if the names of the month come from Babel, where do we get it from that Nisan is the month of Nisim? And the Rebbe mentions that many times in his sichas.
Once we have these names, once these names were taken over and became a thing in Torah, then we can also understand that there's a deeper reason why the original Goyim who came up with those names, why they came up with them, or maybe also why it is, for example, that our Jewish versions of those names are sometimes a little bit different than the ones that they had then. You take, for example, the month of Nisan. You find in these Babylonian inscriptions, whatever they called it, Nisanu. So why do we leave out the Shuruk? Why do we call it Nisan instead? So you can understand that it has to do with Nisan and so forth. But it's more in the matter of the same way as the Gemara will take names of Goyish kings or whatever and darshan them to have a meaning in Lashon Kodesh, even though when their parents named them or when they took these names for themselves, they had something completely different in mind. But since it became part of Torah, therefore we can understand it and we can darshan it as something in Lashon Kodesh. So here it's the same thing.
Are you actually saying that Hashem made it such that he made the Goyim take names that have a meaning in Hebrew because he wanted us to know about that?
Well, effective that, or maybe a related point is, for example, let's say you take Sancheiriv. Let's say you take Sancheiriv, for example. The Gemara explains, the Gemara darshins in Sanhedrin what his name means. What does his name mean in Akkadian or whatever language they spoke in those days? It means something completely different. But the point is, the fact that his name is recorded for us in Tanakh, after all, the Torah didn't have, after all, the Psukim didn't have to, it could have just called him Melech Ashur or something. The fact that it gives his name means that we're meant to understand it in a Torah perspective as well, not just as the name of some god or whatever that they had over there, but also that it has a meaning according to Lashon Kodesh. Otherwise, the Torah didn't have to give us the name at all. So the same thing over here with these names of the month. Yes, they come from Babylonian, and in Babylonian, Nisan probably meant something completely different, and Iyar probably meant something completely different. Certainly, when they called it Iyar, for example, they weren't having in mind Ani Hashem Reifecha or whatever, but the fact that Bashgacha Pratis, that they called it by a name, which then became that by us, and that became part of Torah, means that now we can darshan it as that when now we can darshan the deeper Lashon Kodesh meaning behind it.
The going take a lot of the going okay, take a lot of
we do need to go on. Yeah, whatever they take. We're talking about what we take from them.
From us.
Fine, what they take from us, that's their business. That's we're not talking about that. We're talking about what we took from them. What are we asking?
Yeah.
The issue of using the Goyishin numbers of the months might be that you're being over on the Sachodesh as Elachem Rosh Chodoshim. You're saying that January is the first month rather than Nisan. But again, maybe it's a problem, maybe not. All right, so let's go on. So Tosfos explains, after all, when we say Medivre Kabbalah Lamadna, we're going to learn from Sukkim in Nach, it presupposes that the order of the months we know. We know that there's first Nisan, then Iyar, then Sivan, and so forth. So once we know that, then if we find a pasuk in Nach, and we're going to have several of them, that puts a number together with that name, then we know that they count from Nisan. Namely, you have a pasuk in Zechariah, V'yom Esrim V'Avol La'Ashtei Yosef Chodesh, that Zechariah had a nebuah on the 24th day of the 11th month, Hu Chodesh Shvat, which is the month of Shvat. So counting backwards, if Shvat is the 11th, then Nisan is the first. By the way, worth mentioning as a side point, that this nevuah that he had over there was a nevuah where he says a malach tells him that Hashem is very zealous for Yerushalayim and that the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt, and Hashem continues v'ketzef gadol ani kotzef al goyim ashananim. I am very angry at the complacent goyim that they're sitting there and living so peacefully and they're not bothered by the fact that the Jewish people are in galus and the Beis Hamikdash hasn't been built, and therefore Hashem says I'm going to take action about that. There was a sicha in Tavshin Dalad Mem, that day it was Shabbos, that year, and the Rebbe talked a very long and very sharp sicha about this, explaining what does Hashem have against them? What's wrong if they're complacent? So is it one of the Shevet Mitzvos B'nei Noach that they're obligated to be bothered over that the Jewish people are in Golos? And the gist of it was that, yes, since they have a mitzvah of Tzar Baal HaChayim, they have an iser to cause pain to living creatures, they should realize that we are in pain and we are in Tzar over the fact that we're in Golos, and they should be taking steps to ameliorate that. Whether it's, for example, to give permission, like Kodesh did in his time, to rebuild the Beis Mikdash, whether it's going easier on the Jews who live in their countries, whatever it is, they have a responsibility about that, and Hashem is angry at them that they don't live up to that. Then the Rebbe goes on to say, and it's also meant for us, though, if we're saying that Hashem is angry at them for being complacent, that we're in Golos, how much more so? We can't be complacent about it. We have to be bothered all the time that we're in Golos and be doing whatever we can to get out of Golos and to bring Mashiach. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that as a side thing. The Gemara is mentioning that Nevuah on that date. Anyway, so the point is, again, you see that he calls the month of Shvat the 11th month, which means we're counting from Nisan. Rabba ba ula oma mehocha, you have a pasuk in Megillas Esther, but he lokach Esther ala melech Achashverosh al-Beis Malchusei. Esther was taken to Achashverosh's palace, b'chodesh ha-asiri hu chodesh Tevis, in the 10th month, which is the month of Tevis. So again, if Tevis is the 10th, then Nisan is the 1st. Rav Kahana oma mehocha, Rav Kahana says, I have a pasuk going back to Zechariah, barbo l'chodesh ha-tshi b'kislev, on the 4th day of the 9th month, which is Kislev. He goes on to tell how people came to him to ask, now that the Beis Mikdash has been built, do we still need to fast on Tisha B'Av and Shavuos B'Tammuz and the rest of those? And the gist of the answer was, Hashem told them a long thing about how you have to have Eretz Yisrael to each other in order that the Beis Mikdash should continue standing, etc. And eventually he says that as long as the Beis Mikdash is standing, then these days will be Sos and B'Simcha. Anyway, so we see that it mentions the 9th month and it calls it Kislev. Rav Acha by Yaakov Oma Mehocha, back to Megillas Esther, by Yikoru Sofra HaMelech Ba'isahi, after Haman was hanged, it says that, and after Esther asked Ahasuerus to rescind Haman's decree, or at least to allow the Jews to defend themselves. So it says the scribes of the king were called, Ba'isahi at that time, Ba'chodesh HaShlishi, Chodesh Sivan, in the 3rd month, which is the month of Sivan. So again, if Sivan is the 3rd, it means Nisan is the 1st. Rav Ashi, Omer Mehocha, Rav Ashi says, I have another one, also in the Megillas Esther, when Haman made his girdle. People poor who are girdle lifnei Haman, they made a poor, which is a girdle, a lottery, in front of Haman, mi yoim le yoim, from one day to the next, to find what would be the best day for his zera, ume chodesh le chodesh, and month to month, which month would be the best, and it came out, le chodesh shnei maser, hu chodesh Adar, where it came out to the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. So if Adar is the 12th, then Nisan's the 1st. In fact, that it says, the 12th month is the month of Adar, is one reason. The next thing we're going to talk about in the Gemara is about Ibur Shanim, about making a leap year. So the Gemara is going to mention that we never double any other month other than Adar. One reason for that, in fact, Tosfos explains elsewhere, is since we have this pasuk calling Adar the 12th month, necessarily we can't make another leap month before it. Otherwise, sometimes Adar is going to be the 13th month. So of necessity, that means that Adar, that if there's going to be a doubled month, it's going to be Adar. Soon we'll see. Rashi will give us a different reason. Okay. Anyway,
how do we know that it wasn't an Adar Sheni?
Because if it was, then it would be the 13th month. That's the point. In other words, we're saying we have all these.
No, that's a reverse thinking.
We're saying that it was the 12th month, which is Adar. So therefore, the 12th, counting from Nisan. So therefore, counting from Nisan.
No, the 12th month. The 12th month, if it's another Sheni.
All the other ones. First of all, again, we have all the other ones. And second of all, the whole point is, that's exactly it. Because Adar is always going to be the 12th, therefore, we know it's from Nisan. If there's going to be that's precisely why. If there's going to be an extra month, it has to be Adar Sheni, which is after that 12th month, not before it. That's exactly the point. And the Gemara continues, or another thing you could say, also in Megillas Esther, Chodesh Arishin or Chodesh Nisan, in the 1st month, which is the month of Nisan, is when Haman made this girdle. So therefore you see the 1st month is Nisan. So the Gemara asks, Kulo my time alay ami mehai. So all the other Amiroyim, why didn't they use that pasuk? Why do they have to go to Shvat, which is the 11th, or Tevis, which is the 10th, or so forth? They all know there's a pasuk in Megillas Esther that called Nisan the 1st. Why not just go straight to that? And the answer is Doma Mai Rishin Rishin Lamilse. Because they could answer that, that when it says the first month of it, there, it doesn't mean the first month of the year, of the calendar year. It means the first month when the events began happening, the first month when Haman became prime minister, or the first month when Mordechai insulted him by refusing to bow. And the point would be, in other words, that the Pasuk wants to stress that right away then, he was such a drasha that right away he jumped into action and started plotting to wipe out the Jewish people, Rahman al-Fan. So Chodesh HaRishon over there doesn't necessarily mean the month that's always called the first. It means the first month of these events. So Marshall asks, why don't we say the same thing about the other ones from Megillas Esther? The third month when Mordechai wrote out the new letters means the third month since the beginning of the events, and the 12th month means the 12th month since the beginning of the events. And Mephoshim explained, because at that point, that Ashash, for example, says, at that point, there's no reason to mention it. Once we've already stressed the point that Haman was such a Rasha that right away he hurried to plot to exterminate the Jewish people, we don't need to every time mention that it was the third month since that happened or the 12th month since that happened. So by then, if it says the third or the 12th, that means the third month of the calendar year and the 12th month of the calendar year. So the proof from Nissan, it's a proof, but it's a weak proof. Now, why are the Pesukim in such an odd order? We're going to Zechariah, then we're jumping to Megillas Esther, then back to Zechariah, then back to Megillas Esther. So the Aruch HaNeir explains, because basically we start with Zechariah, because he's from Nevi'im, and Nevi'im comes before Pesukim. The Pesuk there, the earlier Pesuk in Zechariah, refers to the 11th month. That Pesuk is in Perek Aleph of Zechariah. So then we go backwards through the year. We continue with Tevis, then back to Kislev, which is also mentioned in Zechariah, then back to Sivan. Okay, we put an Adar over there because we're finishing off over there with the ones from Megillas Esther. So we end up with the one that's the Chodesh HaRishon or Chodesh Nissan, because it's the weakest of all the proofs. But therefore, so we went backwards throughout the year. Right, but even so, all of them knew the Pasuk in Megillas Esther, so all of them would have quoted it if not for the fact that they consider that's a weak proof. Because again, maybe that means the first of the events, not of the year. Okay, so the Gemara asks for Tana Didan. Now, why does the Tana of On Mishnah not list this matter that Nissan is Rosh Hashanah l'Chadashim? The reason is b'shanim kamayri b'chadashim l'kamayri, because the Tana of On Mishnah is only focusing on things that are for an entire year, not for things that are month by month. So, for example, the Malachim is for the entire year, you're going to write that it's year such and such of this king. For Regalim, it's going to be that you have the beginning of the Regalim where over a year's period, okay, it's not necessarily a year because it can be just Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, but still, basically, you're not talking about something that's tied only to months. You're talking about something that's tied to the annual cycle. So therefore, the Tana of our Mishnah doesn't mention Chadashim, because that's a different kind of thing. Next. The Braisa said Vali Iburim. Another thing Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the Rosh Hashanah for is Iburim. So what do you mean? So it sounds like it means that you can start declaring an Ibur Yer from Nissan. So what does that mean? Iburim and Nissan and Ninan. What do you mean? You count from Nissan when there's going to be an Ibur Yer? V'hatanya, we learn in a Braisa. Ein ma'abr nashana lifnei Rosh Hashanah. The Beis Din is not allowed to declare a leap year before Rosh Hashanah. The im ibrua, and if they did that before Rosh Hashanah, einam uberes, it's not a valid leap year. One reason is so Rashi says a reason for it is because it's a long time. They're going to forget by the time of next Adar. They're going to forget that the Beis Din had declared a leap year, and therefore therefore they're going to end up keeping the Yom Tovim at the wrong time. They're going to end up eating chametz on Pesach. But when there's an emergency situation, for example, Rashi says they have reason to suspect that the Goyim are going to pass a law preventing the Sanhedrin from sitting to be able to make this determination. Or, for example, the Nasi has to travel out of town and you need the Nasi's consent in order to make a leap year. So the Nasi is going to have to travel, for example, to the king's court, and you need his consent. So in such cases where you know that you're not going to have time closer to Adar, ma'abrin oitza achar Rosh Hashanah miyad, then you can make the leap year, you can declare it immediately after Rosh Hashanah. But afa pikein ein ma'abrin ala Adar, nevertheless, there's no, the leap month is always going to be an extra Adar, nothing else. So before I mention what Tosfos says about this elsewhere, the fact that the Pasuk calls Adar the 12th month implies that there's no extra month ever before it. Rashi here gives a different reason. Given that the reason for a leap year is because it says Chashomer is Chodesh Aviv, make sure that Pesach comes out in the month of Aviv. So it means, in other words, the Pasuk is telling us, make, if you have to make a leap year, make it the month before Aviv in order to make sure that Aviv comes out in the right time. So in other words, if you're making it any earlier than that, you make an extra Shvat or an extra Tevis or whatever, it's not so clear that you're doing it because of the Aviv. When you do it in Adar, where, as we said before, you have a little bit of early grain is already sometimes starting to ripen during it, then it's clear that you're doing it in order to make that Nisan should come out during the main time of Aviv. Okay, so the point is that you can only begin after Rosh Hashanah. By the way, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, there's a whole sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin that talks about Ibur Shana, where it mentions over there that at one point they had they one time sent a coded message to Rava, where the Chachamim had to, because of Xeris from the Romans, they had to sit during Av and decide for the following year whether it's going to be a leap year. And the Gemara asks, what about, we're saying over here only from Tishrei? And the answer is, they only made the calculations in Av. The calculations, whether you need a leap year the next year, are kind of intricate. So they had to do that in Av when they figured, I guess they figured at that time, the Romans aren't going to be paying attention to them, because what are they doing then? But then they only announced it after the following Rosh Hashanah, like our Gemara is saying over here. Well, the calculations, I mean, it's complicated. You have all the calculations in Rambam and Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh that you need in order to calculate when the equinox is going to be. So you have other considerations. You have various considerations that you have in the Gemara Sanhedrin that it talks about why they would make a leap year. Some of them, practically speaking, you're not going to know until closer to Pesach anyway. For example, you have to know, are there enough animals available? Are there enough newborn animals available for Korbanos Pesachim and other Korbanos? Are the roads in good condition? Are people going to be able to travel and so forth? So practically speaking, many of those things you're not going to know until Adar is coming anyway. But if let's say you have to make an Ibur year because of the Tekufa, for example, then you could do that already. We're saying the Shasat Chak, they can do that after Rosh Hashanah. And as that Gemara and Sanhedrin says, the calculations in principle, they could do even earlier if it came to that. Okay, anyway, so the point is, what does the Braisa mean that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah le'Iburim? Omer of Nachum Reitzchok, my Iburim have Sokas Iburim. Right, what the Braisa means is that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the deadline beyond which you could not make an Ibur Yer. D'tnan, namely, we learn in a Mishnah in Edius, Hein He'idu, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papias gave Edus, Shama Abrin Ashana Kol Adar, that you can declare a leap year any time during the month of Adar, Shahayu Oimim Adar Purim. Before that, Chachamim said, you could only do it until Purim. So that's what I mean. So the Braisa is saying, if we have the entire Adar, comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan, comes Aleph Nisan, you can't do that anymore. Now, the truth is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains that, and we learned briefly about it in Pesachim as well, that actually even on the 30th of Adar, you're not allowed to declare it. Because if it happens one year that there's a 30th of Adar, nevertheless, that day could have been Rosh Chodesh. So that's according to one opinion, that's what Chizkiah did, and the Chachamim disapproved of him for that. So why are we saying Aleph Nisan if the deadline is really Lamed Adar? And the answer is because B'dievet, if they do it on Lamed Adar, it's still a valid leap year. Aleph Nisan, if they do it already, it's not even B'dievet, it's no good. But Lamed Adar, you're not supposed to do it, but B'dievet, if they did it, like Chizkiah did it, then B'dievet, it's a valid leap year. So therefore we can say Aleph Nisan is the actual deadline where once Aleph Nisan comes, you cannot declare a leap year anymore. Okay. So the Gemara says, my time of demand to Omer Adar Purim. When we said that the earlier the Chachamim said you can only make a leap year up to Purim, what was the Svara? So the reason is, Kivin to Omer Mar, since we learn in a Braisa, Sholin behilchos haPesach kodem haPesach shloshim yom, for 30 days before Pesach is a time to ask about dinim of Pesach. That's the time when the Rabbanim are giving droshes about the halachos of Pesach. That's the time when people are coming and asking Shilas about it. So what happens is, now, 30 days before Pesach is Purim. So what's going to happen? You're going to have in a place where it's Purim, so the Rav is starting to darshan on Hilchos Pesach, and people are coming to ask Shailos on Hilchos Pesach. So what happens? Sometime after that, a messenger comes to town and says, Beis Din made a leap year. So it's not 30 days until Pesach, or 27 days or whatever by the time he gets there. It's you have a whole nother month. People are going to get careless and be over on Chometz on Pesach. Because people are going to say, what are you talking about? You're coming and saying there's a leap year. Our Rav is already dashing in Hilchos Pesach. It's clearly within 30 days of Pesach. You don't know what you're talking about. And therefore, what's going to happen? They're not going to be keeping a second month of Adar. They're going to keep Pesach a month earlier than they're supposed to. And then when the actual Pesach comes, they're going to be eating Chometz. So therefore, the Chachamim before Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papias said, better to not allow the leap year to be declared until Pesach. V'idach, so what did Rabbi Yeshua and Apophis answer to that? They say, yeah, maybe you did. People are not going to be careless because of that. Maybe you did. People know full well the Shatam Abarta, that a leap year, B'choshbon Atalya Milsa, it depends on calculation. It is, again, it's very intricate calculations. Plus, also, you have the practical things that they're not going to know earlier, that they're not going to know until it's getting closer to Pesach. Besabri, so therefore people are going to figure Chushbana who delay Salak Lahu the Rabbanan Adhidna. You know what it is? The Chachamim weren't able to finish the calculations until now. When the messenger shows up sometime after Purim and tells them there's a leap year, they're not going to say, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about, or Rav is already darshaning in Hilchos Pesach. They're going to say, okay, you know what? It happens. The Chachamim weren't able to figure it out until now. But yes, we'll accept what you're saying. There is a leap year, and therefore people aren't going to be careful with, aren't going to be careless with comments on Pesach. Therefore, go ahead and make a leap year anytime during Adar. And that's the halacha. Okay. So now, again, the question is, the Tana Didan, the Tana of our Mishnah, why did he not mention this point? The reason is, because the Mishnah is only listing things that begin on a certain date, not things that end on a certain date. Here we're saying the end, the deadline for making a leap year, once Rosh Chodesh Nissan comes, you can't do it anymore. Then when does it begin again? Only sometime later. We said only the following Rosh Hashanah. So our Mishnah is not listing those kinds of things where you only have a break in something and not the beginning of something. With years of kings, the previous year ends, the new one begins. With Regolim, the Baal Ta'achar end, the beginning of Baal Ta'achar, the Baal Ta'achar clock, according to the Shimon, begins with Pesach. So we're not talking about things that end on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Okay. Next, we said the Brais has said another thing, the Trumas Shkolim, that the Truma of Shkolim is another thing begins Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So first of all, Manolon, where do we know that from? Amar Rav Yoshia, Amakra, because the Pasuk says, Zois Olas Chodesh B'Chodshei L'Chodshei Hashanah. This is the talking about the Korbanos of Rosh Chodesh. This is the Ola of each month, in its month, for the month to the year. So you have a lot of time, you have a lot of extra times when it says the word Chodesh. So it means, Amar Torah, Chadesh V'Hobei Korban Mitruma Chadosha. The Torah is telling you that there's a certain point when you have to renew and you have to begin, bring the karbanis from truma chadasha, from the new truma of matzah shekel. So, in other words, we understand that zois olas chodesh. This is the month of the chodesh, b'chodshoy, and that takes place in. There's a certain month when that begins. Zos olas chodesh. This is the ola of Rosh Chodesh b'chodshoy. There has to be a renewal of it. L'chodshei Hashana at a time when the Chodshei Hashana begin. And when is that? V'gamri Shana min Nissan. So we learn Gzeira Shava on the word Shana from Nissan. Yichtiv Rishin hu lachem l'chodshei Hashana. We said before Nissan is the first month. So therefore, it means that we begin the fiscal year of the Beis Mikdash. We start using the Truma Chadasha Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So the Gemara asks, the Ligmar Shana Shana mi Tishrei. How do you know? Maybe instead we should learn Gzeira Shava on the word Shana from Tishrei. Dichtiv Mereshis Hashana. The Pasuk says that Hashem watches over Eretz Yisrael in particular from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. And later on, we'll learn tomorrow best Hashem that means Tishrei. The answer is Donin Shana Shiyesh Imachadoshim mi Shana Shiyesh Imachadoshim. The answer is, if we have a choice, we're going to learn a Shana that has the word Chodesh together with it from another one that does. Here in the Pasuk, it says V'Chodshei Hashana, and by Nissan, it also says V'Chodshei Hashana. So we'd prefer to do that. We're not going to learn from one where it doesn't say Chodoshim, namely Medeshes Hashana, Bad Achris Shana, where it doesn't say Chodoshim. If we had no alternative, sure, we'd learn it from there. But since we have an alternative, one that says Chodshei, then we'd prefer to learn from there, and therefore we say we learn that's Nissan. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, by the way, a din, Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Korbanos Tzibur HaBoin Be'echa B'Nissan, these Korbanos Tzibur that you have to start bringing on the first of Nissan, Mitzvah L'Havi Min HaChodesh, the ideal mitzvah is to bring them from the new Truma, from the new Matzah Shekel, the Im Hevi Min HaYoshan Yotza, if they brought it from the old money, then they are Yotza, Ela Shechisei Mitzvah, but they're lacking in the mitzvah, they didn't do the mitzvah in the proper way. So let's say, for example, the money didn't show up in time, they can still use the old money. Tani Nami Hochi, we learned similarly in a Braisa. Korbanos Tzibur HaBoin Be'echad B'Nissan Mitzvah L'Havi Min HaChodesh. The ideal mitzvah is to bring them from the new money. V'im Hevi Min HaYosh and Yotza Ela Shechitza Mitzvah. You brought it from the old and you Yotza, but you're lacking a mitzvah. And the Braisa adds another detail. The Yochid Sheis Nadav Mishaloi, if a Yochid wants to donate Korbanos on his own, Ksherim, then it's kosher, Uvovad Sheyim Sirim LeTzibur, as long as he gives them over to the Tzibur. Because you have to have Korbanos Tzibur, have to be brought from funds of the Tzibur. So if he gives it, then fine. As long as he gave it to the Tzibur, then it's good. So we want to ask Pshita, isn't that obvious? Once he gave it over to the Tzibur, what's the problem? And the answer is, maybe you should have to be concerned that he's not fully giving it over to the Tzibur, that maybe he still thinks of it as like being psur, he has a certain proprietorship over it. We learned about this concept in Yuma, for example, with the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, where we had, for example, that his mother can make him a ksoinus or something, and then he has to be mosir the Tzibur, yafa yafa. So the same thing over here. So you would be concerned that maybe he's not going to give it over to the Tzibur fully. He's still going to think it still sort of belongs to me. Kamash Malan, therefore the Braisa is telling us that's not a problem. Actually, Tosfos asks the question that you have a sugya on this at the end of Bav Metzia, where the Gemara actually brings a machloikas on this point, of a machloikas tanoim, of whether we say that there's a problem of yim sirim yafa yafa. So Tosfos just says that yesh lechalik, that you could make a certain chiluk, that there's less of a concern than there is here. Tosfos doesn't spell out why there should be that difference. So Mephoshim explained like this, because over there, what we're talking about is, during Shemitah year, we know that you're not allowed to plant crops, but on the other hand, you need barley for the Shteilech, and you need barley for the Omer, and you need wheat for the Shteilechem. So what are you going to do? So you have, when Beis Din finds that there's an area where wheat or barley are growing, a Svichim, nobody planted them, but they grew on their own from seeds that are left over from previous years, they hire watchmen to guard those plants, and if anybody comes by and wants to take them, then the watchman tells them, please don't, we're reserving, this is reserved for the Beis Hamikdash. So now, so in the sugya over there in Bava Metzia, it talks about whether there's a problem, what if a person wants to volunteer his time to do that? Can he do that, or is there a problem that maybe it's then considered to belong to him? So, to volunteer, to be a watchman and not be paid. So Yav Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether he can do that, or whether they have to pay him out of the treasury of the Beis Hamikdash. And then the Gemara explains over there that the Machlokes is whether we say that there's this problem of Lo Yimtzirim Letzibur Yafa Yafa. So Tosfos says that over here maybe there's not much of a problem with it. So again, Tosfos doesn't spell out why, but the Mephoshim explained because over there we're talking about something hefker, where there's more of a concern. Maybe he's watching it. And therefore he maybe considers that he owns it to a certain sense, and maybe therefore he doesn't fully give it over. Here we're talking about something that belonged to a person to begin with. He is voluntarily of his own giving it to Hekdesh. So therefore there's much less of a problem that he would still be giving it, and he's going to think at the same time that it still belongs to me. Much less logical than when it belonged to Hefker, and then he took it, and then he's watching it from Hefker. So the Gemara asks for Tana Didan or Tana, who doesn't mention this point of Rosh Hashanah of Rosh Chodesh Nissen being Rosh Hashanah for Trumas Shkolim. Why not? The reason is Kivin Dekatanim Hevi Yotza, because since it said that if you bring it from the old money, then you're still Yotza like Psikolai. So it's not a definitive thing. You can't say it's Rosh Hashanim as in the sense that it's a deadline. You can't bring from the old Trumas Alishka after this, because you could. The fact is that the Yevit, if you did, then you're still Yotza. We said in the brights of a yesh omrim achlus schirus batim, yesh omrim that some say that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is also the Rosh Hashanah for rentals of houses. So what does that mean? Tonan Rabbanan, hamaskir bayis lachaveirei mishloshana. If a person rents a house to somebody else for a year and they don't specify exactly for when the deadline is, moina shneimas chodesh miyom liyom, then it's 12 months from the date when they signed the contract or when they gave him the money or whatever. On the other hand, if he said for this year, then it means this calendar year. Even if he only moves in on the 1st of Adar, also like Shana, once Rosh Chodesh Nissan comes, then it's considered a year. Now, Tosfos points out, why don't we say, well, what do you mean? Well, we'll look at how much he paid him. Did he pay him enough rental for 1 month or for 12 months? Tosfos says, this is one of those examples where we don't say that. We don't say hadomim modim. We say there's extra money, maybe, fine. Maybe he gave it to him as a pekodin. Maybe he gave it to him as a present. You can't definitively say because he gave him 12 months worth of rent, therefore necessarily it means that he intended to take it for 12 months. And also, other Mephoroshim point out, it doesn't even have to be he gave them money ahead of time. He could pay the rental at the end, and then, of course, then there's nothing to talk about. But anyway, the point is, once he was there 30 days, and he said this year, then it means this calendar year, and the calendar year for that purpose was saying, according to the Yeshayim, ends Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Now, why do we require 30 days? Now, we have an opinion. We mentioned it before as far as Melachim and Beis Amid Beis. We're going to mention it in more detail in a couple of blocks when we start talking about dinim of Orla and whatever. There's an opinion that one day in a year is already considered a whole year. So why don't we say over here he moved in Choptes Adar, then we should say Aleph Nissan, the year is already over. Because shiny hocha, it's different over here. So like Torah Inish, La Mega Base, La Botsam, it's plus in Yemen, nobody bothers to rent a house for less than 30 days. So if he rented it sometime within 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, then no, the year is not up Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Then we would say it means different Mephoroshim talk about. Does it then mean that we're back to 12 months and therefore he has until the same date next year? Or does it mean maybe that he has, maybe it means he has until Rosh Chodesh Nissan of the following year? So in other words, he has a year and a couple of weeks. Whatever it is, it certainly doesn't end this Rosh Chodesh Nissan because he wouldn't have bothered renting the house for less than 30 days. Okay. The fact, that's what I'm saying. Tosfos says the fact that he paid the money up front doesn't make a difference. We don't say hadomim modim because we say the fact that there's extra money. It could be a pekodin, it could be a present, it could be that he previously stole from him and now he wants to pay him back this way. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, the Eimat Tishrei, why don't we say, how do we know for this purpose that it's Rosh Chodesh Nissan? After all, the whole thing is only Dirabbanan. So maybe the Chachamim would establish that the beginning of the year for this purpose is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. The answer is no. Stam, we can assume, ki ogar inish besa, when a person rents a house, l'kuli, yamoysa g'shamim ogar, he wants to rent it for the entire rainy season. So if he's renting it before Tishrei, we can assume he doesn't want it to be over Rosh Hashanah. He wants to be able to continue to have it throughout the whole rainy season, which would mean until Nisan. The Tana Didan, the Tanakh, so the Gemara says, the Tana Kama de Braisa. Now, what about the Tana Kama of the Braisa who disagrees with the Yeshayim? The Tana Didan and our Tana who doesn't even mention this point at all. Why do they disagree? They say, because they say during Nisan also, sometimes you have clouds, sometimes you have rain. So if you're telling me that a person rents a house and they want to be able to have it throughout the whole rainy season, sometimes Nisan can be rainy also in Eretz Yisrael and places near there. So therefore, it's not a definitive thing that he means it for it to be over Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And in fact, the Mephoroshim say it means, according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah and according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, it would mean that the deadline wouldn't, that the time when the year is up would in fact be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei rather than Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay. So, well, he doesn't specify where he says for this year. So when is this year over? That's what we're saying. If he said a year, then it means okay, then it means full 12 months, right? Okay. Next. So now we're done with Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the two things that we said for Rosh Chodesh Nissan in the Mishnah and all the ones that the Brai said. Now the next one in the Mishnah was Be'echad Be'elul Rosh Hashanah L'Maisa Behema. On the first of Elul is Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema. That means, in other words, the animals born before that and the animals born after that don't combine together. So the Gemara says, Mani, who would that be like? Rameir. Evidently, that's according to Rameir. The Tanya, or the Tanan, really, it's the Mishnah in Bechoras. Rameir, Be'echad Be'elul Rosh Hashanah L'Maisa Behema. On the first of Elul is Rosh Hashanah, as far as Maisa Behema. So that part of our Mishnah would be according to Rameir. The problem with that is Valudud Golim, but when we said before that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Rosh Hashanah Lud Golim, Mani, who would that be according to? Reb Shimon. That's obviously according to Reb Shimon, because we said before, only Reb Shimon requires a Rosh Hashanah Lud Golim, because everybody else, Reb Meir himself had said, you're over after only one Yomtiv, whichever one it is, and all the other Tanoim had different opinions. Only Reb Shimon is saying you need them in order, Pesach, then Shavuos, then Sukkos. So only according to him is there a Rosh Hashanah Lud Golim. So Mani Reb Shimon, that would be according to Reb Shimon. Ema Sefer, but then look at the next part. The Mishnah continues after it says that Be'echad Be'elul is Rosh Hashanah L'Maisa Behema. It continues. Rabbi Lazar and Reb Shimon, I mean Be'echad B'Tishrei. Rabbi Lazar and Reb Shimon say it's not Rosh Chodesh Elul, it's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So what's going on? Reishiv is Sefer, Reb Shimon, and Mitzyasi the Mayor. Are you having a Mishnah that starts out according to Reb Shimon, then continues according to the Mayor, then goes back to Reb Shimon? That's not a way to structure a Mishnah. So the answer is Amar Rabbi Yosef. The answer is, Rabbi Yosef says, the author of our Mishnah is Rebbe, and he picked according to different opinions of Tanoim. He held in certain things according to one Tana, in certain things according to a different one, which he's entitled to. Rebbe himself is a Tana. Even Amoraim are allowed to pick and choose like that among opinions of Amoraim. Certainly a Tana like Rebbe is allowed to. So, when it comes to the Golem, he holds like Reb Shimon that you need them in order, put Pesach, then Shavuos, then Sukkot. So therefore, he put that first in Mishnah. Of Ma'aseh Behemah, Savalak Reb Meir. When it comes to Ma'aseh Behemah, he holds like Reb Meir that Rosh Chodesh for it is, that Rosh Hashanah for it is Rosh Chodesh Elul. So therefore, he put that. But then he told us, by the way, you should know that Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon disagree. So in other words, it's not Reb Shimon, then Reb Meir, and then Reb Shimon. It's Rebbe who agrees with Reb Shimon on this point. Rebbe who agrees with Reb Meir on that point, and then mentioning also Reb Shimon's opinion. So the Gemara asks, if like that, if you're saying that the Mishnah is according to one Tana, Arba, then what do you mean you only have four Rosh Chodashim? Chamisha Havu, then it comes out you have five, because you have Echad Ben Nissen is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. When is Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim, not Rosh Chodesh Nissen, because there's no regal on the first of Nissen. It means the regal is on the 15th of Nissen. So far you have two. Then you have Rosh Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and Tu B'Shvat. So you have five. So what are you saying, Abba Rosh Hashanah name? Amar Rava, so Rava says, what it means is Abba L'Divrei HaKol. It means, yes, the Mishnah is according to Rebbe. Rebbe is saying, I hold that there are five, but you should know, the other Tanoim, each of them holds that there are four. Namely, the Reb Meir Abba Dal Regolim. Reb Meir would say there are four because he subtracts Regolim. According to him, there's no Rosh Hashanah Regolim because it's not relevant. So according to him, you have Rosh Chodesh Nissan from Malachim, Rosh Chodesh Elul for Ma'aseh Behemah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei for Shanim and Shmitim and so forth, and Chamisha Asa B'Shvat for Ilan. So that would be according to Reb Meir. So he's leaving out to Lur Regolim because according to Lur Regolim would be Tesvav Nissan. He doesn't know that there's a Rosh Hashanah Lur Regolim. Reb Shimon, Arba, Dal Ma'aseh Behemah. And according to Reb Shimon, there are four, because according to him, he subtract Ma'aseh Behemah, because he holds that's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So according to Reb Shimon, you have Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim is on Aleph Nissen, Rosh Hashanah L'Regolim is on Tetzvav Nissen, Rosh Hashanah L'Ma'aseh Behemah, as well as Shonim, Shmidim, and Yovelos, and so forth, is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, and Chamisha Osa B'Shvat is for Elam. So either way, so in other words, Rebbe is saying, I myself, I'm going to say there's five, but you should know, the other Tanoim each hold that there are four. Okay, that's one answer. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar. Rav Nachman Yitzchok gives a different answer. It means there are 4 months in which there are multiple Rosh Chodashim. In other words, when we say Nissan, for example, we say Be'echad B'Nissan, we mean throughout the month of Nissan, there are various Rosh Hashanah. According to the mayor, there's just the one, Echad Ben, just L'Malachim. And according to Rav Shimon, there's a second one within that month, namely the Regalim. But still, it doesn't have to be that we count those separately because they're both in the same month. So the Gemara says, Maisvi, in that case, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says a couple of other ones. Shisha also ben Nissan, Rosh Hashanah la'Omer. The 16th of Nissan is Rosh Hashanah as far as the Omer, meaning the Omer is brought on the 16th of Nissan, and only after it's brought can you eat Chodosh, can you eat the new crop of grain for that year. And Shisha B'Sivan Rosh Hashanah L'Shtei Alechem, and the sixth of Sivan is Rosh Hashanah as far as the Shtei Alechem, that only from then on are you able to bring Menachos in the Beis Mikdash from the new grain crop of that year. Before that, you're not supposed to. So you have two more. So the Rava listni Shisha. So according to Rava, our Mishnah should be listing six Rosh Hashanim, because Rava who says that we list fine. You're saying that Reb Meir and Reb Shimon both hold that there are four Rosh Hashanim. Only Rebbe holds that there are five because he counts both Tesvav Nissan and Rosh Chodesh Elul. Fine, but both Reb Meir and Reb Shimon also agree that there's the Rosh Hashanah La'omer and the Rosh Hashanah L'Shtei Alechem. So then the Mishnah should say that there are six Rosh Hashanim according to each of them. And Rebbe himself would then say that there are seven. And the Rav and the Rav Nachman Yitzchok listen to Chamisha. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, fine, we're talking about the number of months that have Rosh Hashanim, rather. Fine, you should say there are five. Nissan, Sivan, Elul, Tishrei, and Shvat. So why is it saying only four? The answer is, Amar Papa, Ki Kachoshet Midi Dechayel Me'urta. Because in the Mishnah, we're only listing things that begin the evening before. As soon as the Yom Tov begins, or as soon as the Rosh Chodesh begins, right away this particular din kicks in. Midi deloy chayil meurta loy kachoshib, something that doesn't begin from the evening before. For example, as far as for so tetz zayin nissen, when does it become that you're mutter to eat the omer, that you're able to eat chodesh rather, only when the korban omer is brought? That's brought by daytime because you don't bring carbonus at night. Therefore, the evening before, you still also to eat Chodesh. The same thing with the Shtei Alechem. You bring them the morning of Shavuos, and before that, you're not allowed, you can't bring carbonus mincha the night before because you don't bring carbonus at night. So those don't count because those don't begin the night before. I want to ask about regolim, what about the regolim? That doesn't begin the night before as far as Baal Ta'achar, because Rashi explains, we're assuming that what happens is, so we're saying that you're over on Baal Ta'achar after a certain number of regolim, but when are you actually over? But Pashtus, not as soon as the Yom Tov begins, because by night you can't bring the korban anyway. But Pashtus, you're over when the morning comes and you would be able to bring the korban and you didn't. Actually, Tos just points out, if you say, which we learned in Beitza, that you're not allowed to bring the Dorim and Adavas on Yom Tov, then even on Yom Tov, it wouldn't kick in. It would only kick in Chol HaMoed. Actually, now what it is like this. We did learn before, Tos just points out, we did learn before in the Sugya Baal Ta'achar that you need the entire Yom Tov to have passed in order for it to count as one of the three regalim or however many regalim. So what are we talking about already, that you'd be over on the morning of the Yom Tov? So no, it means the other way around. It means, in other words, if you made the neder, let's say, by the night of Yom Tov, then when we should say the Yom Tov already began. That Yom Tov doesn't count, maybe we should say, because after all, you've made the neder after the Yom Tov already began. Sure, you can only bring the korban beginning the next morning, but the fact is you need a complete Yom Tov to pass, and then that's the first of the Yom Tov towards Baal Ta'achar, and you don't have it because you made the neder by night. The answer is, kivin shetzorech li'isuria me'ikra mechayev. The answer is no. Since you did have to bring the korban from beforehand, mechayev b'koy, then you already chayev. So we are going to say, in other words, the point is that when you're over on Baal Ta'achar, when the Yom Tov comes and you didn't bring it, yes, it's true you can't bring it by night. Nevertheless, you still were delaying and you didn't bring it for two Yom Tovim already. So yes, you're already going to be over on Baal Ta'achar by night, even though the fact is you can't bring the korban until the next morning. Or according to Tosfos, the vote would be Tosfos' explanation of Rashi, if you made the neder by night, then it still should count as the first Yom Tov, because after all, the beginning of Korbanos is only by day. No, we're saying if you made the neder by night, as a matter of fact, but yes, it's already considered. You're in the Yom Tov, therefore that Yom Tov does not count towards Baal Ta'achar. So unlike the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, where the whole thing only kicks in the morning, here, the beginning of the Baal Ta'achar clock, once the Yom Tov begins, then that Yom Tov cannot count towards the Baal Ta'achar clock, because you made the neder by night, even though you can't bring the Korban. The Gemara asked about a Yovelist the Chayli Me'urta. What about Yovel, which we mentioned in the Mishnah? That doesn't begin the night before because it only begins when Beis Din blows Shofar, which takes place on Yom Kippur. Vika Choshev, yet on, and that's Yom Kippur by day, and yet Vika Choshev, yet on Mishnah lists it. So you see that on Mishnah doesn't mind listing things that begin only in the morning. The answer is Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yechon ben Breka. The answer is our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yechon ben Breka, the Omar who says actually Rosh Hashanah Chayu Yovel. He says, which we're going to talk about tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that Yovel really begins from Rosh Hashanah already. So it has nothing to do with the Tchiyah. So therefore, when does it begin? It begins the night of Rosh Hashanah, just like every Yom Tov begins by night. Actually, Tosfos asks a little bit further. I mean, why is the Gemara even asking the question? Of course, we know it has to be according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yechon ben Breka, because the fact is, according to the Chachamim, it begins only Yom Kippur, and the Mishnah didn't mention Yom Kippur. The Mishnah said Rosh Hashanah. So one answer is that it could be when the Mishnah mentioned Rosh Hashanah, the same way as it mentioned Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and it meant Regalim, which is really Tesvav Nissan, the same way it could say Rosh Hashanah and mean things that take place during the month. But the answer is that no, our Mishnah is like a Bishmal, Benosha, Rabbi Yechon ben Breka, who says that the Dinim of Yovel begin Rosh Hashanah already. So therefore, if they begin Rosh Hashanah, they begin Rosh Hashanah by night already, not Yom Kippur morning. Okay. More answers. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi Omar, Ki Kachoshev Midi Dalei Toli B'Maisa. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi says, our Mishnah is only listing things that begin without a Maisa. Rosh Chodesh Nissan, for Regalim, for Malachim, for example, the king was already crowned many years earlier. Now, as soon as Rosh Chodesh Nissan comes, his year begins. You don't need to do anything for it to be a new year. The same thing with all the other ones. Midi Toli B'Maisa, like a Kachoshev, it's not listing things that depend on Maisa. Namely, the Omer has to actually be brought. The Shtei Alechem has to actually be brought. And Tosfos points out, I mean, even the fact is, there is an opinion that, that we learned about it in Sukkah, that as soon as it becomes the morning on the 16th, when there's no Beis Mikdash, then then Chodesh is already Mutter, which is not the Halacha, by the way. The Halacha is also the whole day. But anyway, still, you still have the mitzvah of bringing the Omer. Okay. So, Bahari Regolim, the Tolib, Midid Tolib Maisa. What about Regolim? Depends on a Maisa, because again, it depends on when you actually bring the Korban, the Kachoshiv, and you're still counting it. And the answer is again, Bal Ta'achem, Emei L'Chayil. The answer is, it's Chal automatically. As soon as the Yom Tov comes and you didn't bring it, then you're ready, you're over. Or as soon as the Yom Tov ends and you didn't bring it, then you're over on Bal Ta'achem. Or again, as we said, that as soon as the Yom Tov comes, then already that Yom Tov cannot count towards Bal Ta'achem. Okay, Bahari Yovelis, what about Yovelis, which depends on Tzkiyah? And again, the answer is Rishmol B'noshu Rabbeichin Mabreikahi. Our Mishnah is according to Rishmol B'noshu Rabbeichin Mabreikah, who says it doesn't depend on the Tzkiyah. Automatically, the Yovel begins on Rosh Hashanah. One more answer, but Rav Ashi says, why is, so again, we have a few answers why our Mishnah is not listing the 16th of Nisan and the 6th of Sivan. So one answer is because we're dealing only with things that start the night, that start the night before, which those don't. Another one is we're saying things that don't depend on a Maisa. A third answer, Rav Ashi Yomer, Arba Rosh Hashanim Hem Shehem Ba'Arba Rosh Chadoshim. It means there are four Rosh Hashanahs that are each on, there are four Rosh Hashanahs for various purposes that are each on Rosh Chodesh. In other words, the Mishnah, our Mishnah is only listing things that take place on Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Be'echa b'shvat for Beis Shammai? Then what are you telling me in that case? You're telling me that we, the first of Shvat is only according to Beis Shammai. So how, and the Halacha is not like Beis Shammai. So how does that work? So in other words, Rav Ashi is answering the reason why we're not listing the 16th of Nisan and the 6th of and the 6th of Sivan is because they're not Rosh Chodesh. But the question is, in that case, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan is on Rosh Chodesh only according to Beis Shammai. And the answer is fine. That's what it means. Hochikama. Shloshal Divrei Hakol. Three of them are on Rosh Chodesh according to everybody. Namely, Le'Molochim is definitely Rosh Chodesh Nisan. L'maisa behema is definitely on a Rosh Chodesh. Fine, it's machlokes which Rosh Chodesh el lo Tishrei, but everybody agrees it's on Rosh Chodesh. And l'shonim, l'shmitim, etc. is also Rosh Hashanah, is also on Rosh Chodesh. V'echad b'shvat machlokes v'shamei b'silo, but the one on the first of Shvat is a machlokes v'shamei b'silo. So the Mishnah is saying you should know that according to Beis Shammai, when we say abor Rosh Hashanim, it's not according to everybody, it's only according to Beis Shammai. Which actually there are achronim who point out. I saw this from the Vilna Gaon. I saw this from the Bnei Yisachar. He says that they say that that's why the Mishnah uses the expression that it's the first of Shvat kid divrei Beis Shammai. Usually it just says divrei Beis Shammai. The point is, in other words, we're saying the Mishnah is telling us in effect, according to Rav Ashi's answer, this that I told you about Rosh Hashanim, you should know is only kid divrei Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel in fact would say that there are only three Rosh Hashanim that are Rosh Hashanahs. Everyone?
Sure.